Now, Father, clear our thoughts, and may we speak the words of life, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I want to greet you as we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we just look around the room and we just love one another.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
You know, we come from different backgrounds and we come from different ways of life. And we got different jobs. We got different personalities. But when we come together, there's something, there's a common denominator that's within our heart.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ. So we want to be thankful for one another, and when we look into one another's eyes, we look into one another's soul, and I trust that what you're going to see is Jesus Christ through one another. And so we are really thankful that you've come into the house of God today. I wanted to say a happy birthday to little Ashton. He's going to have a birthday on Wednesday coming. And Ashton's going to be 3 years old. We won't sing the happy birthday this morning, but amen. We just want to make sure that little Ashton knows it's his birthday coming on Wednesday, and we appreciate him. Amen. Would you have your Bibles with you? That would be really nice. It's good to bring your Bible to church, and we take great value in our Bible. I know in the technology age that we're in, some of us use our iPads and our phones and so on. But, you know, I think it's really nice to have your Bible with you and be able to open the Bible and see what God has written in his holy word. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I just want to speak to you a little while. And maybe, brothers and sisters, before we read this scripture, I have a quotation from Perfect Faith that I'd like to maybe read first there on the screen. And we read here in a sermon of perfect faith. Brother Brandon would say, I want you to get this now. Mm-hmm. We, the church, has got to lift itself in the power of God. How? We are too close to the end now, and I believe the church is in condition where we can teach a little deeper things. And rub some of this make-belief out and get into something, something real. I look into this quotation, and many times we would say to ourselves, well, let's turn over to the book of Revelations, and we're going to speak on something a little bit deeper. But I sometimes believe that our personal lives have things in them that have to be shaped and have to be, as we read in this little quotation, rubbed out.
Amen. Yes.
And those things are quite deep because they're hidden layer by layer by layer in our lives. Now, little Ashton is 3 years old, and his experience is really is calling out for something to eat and having nap time and having a joyful experience and mom and dad treating him good and aunties treating him good. But as we grow up in our lives, we like a tree begin to make layers. And more layers, and we take memories and thoughts, and we're going to speak about this in just a moment, but we take all that we have sponged up in our lives. How many knows we've sponged?
Right, for sure.
Yeah, from our parents and from our teachers and our mentors and our preachers, and we sponge things up into our lives, and we've categorized them in our lives. The things that we like, we put in the like zone. The things that are hurt, we put in hurt zones. Things that we want to really forget, we put somewhere backwards in the mind. And we don't ever really want to face those things because it brings troubles. But the Holy Spirit desires that we are a whole purpose and a whole person. And he desires to move in us in a whole so that we will be in his likeness, as we read in the scripture that we are made in his likeness. And being made in his likeness means that we can overcome as Jesus overcame all things in this world. Yeah. Remember, Jesus came forth, the fullness of God came to earth amongst us. And he lived his life, and he died at 33 years, but he had those life experiences. He knew everything that you and I are going through. And so there is no neglect in Jesus. Jesus desires to fulfill all of his promises
yes.
inside of our lives.
Amen.
So I just want to speak to you today and maybe just get real into our hearts, and maybe the Lord Jesus could help us.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this. It's not a disclaimer, but I just want to be real.
Amen.
From the pulpit down to the last person in the last pew are all working towards being in the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we may be speaking today and proclaiming the gospel, reading from the scriptures, reading what Brother Brown would say, or giving thoughts. But I want you to know that we have to take on the full word here in the pulpit the same way that you all do this morning. And so we begin to read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It's very familiar to us. We would know it from the scripture as the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray thee, Jesus instructing now, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
And ever.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We can take our seats. Father in heaven, would you begin to speak through our hearts that we might receive the word and have perfect faith in our lives.
Yes.
Now this morning, I'm not here to rebuke or to chasten or to direct. I just want to speak to our hearts. And
yeah.
As you could see in that highlighted part of the scripture, you would read Jesus speaking and forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. Now, in a scripture here, sometimes we might have the idea at some point that Jesus is speaking about our financial debts, like maybe we should not owe man anything. But this is not where Jesus is coming forward with, because the word debt is the similar meaning. It speaks in an Arabic or speaking of hamoa, which means a moral or spiritual death, a debt. It is those who fall in their duty towards us, those who fail, in their duty towards us, a debt. Jesus is speaking about your fellow man that you live with, that you rub shoulders with, that you have communicated with in some part of your life. Now, remember that you have touched and you have been with many, many different varieties of people during your life. Some of us are older in age, and they have had more touch and more experience and more thoughts. And sometimes we say, well, the more experience we have, the better we are. But truthfully, the more experiences you have, the more you have to get over.
Right. That's true.
You know, when we live lives that are simple, We don't crave so much of the things that are complex.
Right.
When you keep yourself away from the worldly things like entertainments or televisions or things that would bombard your mind, even news or the things that we're going through now in our political world, many would say that your mind is simple. Maybe they would say you're living in ignorance. Maybe many would say that you should get with it. But the truth is, the simpler life you live, the less complex you have to filter the things that are in life. Now, God has created us with the ability to filter, but sometimes we filter incorrectly. And so we see that there are many of us that have failed towards us. I want to stop here just for a moment, and I want to remind you of a teaching that we believe with all of our heart, that we have a body, a physical body. And we have a spirit that lives within us. When we're born, our spirit comes to us. And we know that because we are made in God's image in a higher form of life, we recognize in the human being there is a soul. Now, the body that we live in, this body, the prophet would tell us, and this is just even known within the, we don't live, you know, God doesn't give us this body of senses such as see and taste and feel and smell to govern our lives.
Right.
Our lives are governed by faith. And the faith that we have is not in one another, because you and I will disappoint one another. And this is exactly where my topic, my sermon is today. Disappointments with one another creates debtors. So we're not here to put our thoughts and our feelings upon our flesh, but we are here to focus upon what the Word and what Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us.
Yes.
Now, to say to forgive, the word forgive means to hurl it and to send it away. So there are things in our lives that have been complex, and there's things that have failed us, or there has been bruises and there has been injuries and there has been scars to prove those things that are debts or debtors in our lives. But God is speaking to us and saying, look, you can't erase the memory, it's there. And that which is right and wrong is still right and wrong. And you can't change that thing. But you can take your attitude towards what has happened and put it in such, as I say, a baseball form, and take it and hurl it. You can hurl it and send it away.
Yeah.
I want to let you think a moment about David in the scripture. Now, David is a man after God's own heart. And I believe every child of God that loves the Lord Jesus is a person after God's own heart.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you that this morning you are a person after God's own heart.
Amen.
Now, David was anointed. And just as a child, he was anointed to be king. The prophet Samuel came to his household asking for his brothers and him to come. And, you know, they left him in the field. Now, can you imagine the prophet comes and he says, I want to anoint Jesse, one of your sons, to be king.
Yes.
And Jesse invites all his sons to come forward, but ruddy little David, he leaves in the field. Now, can you imagine when David is called and he finds out, and then he's anointed as king, but yet there would be a memory that would be in his, tucked in his, little heart, thinking, what did they think I was? Was I just mincemeat? Was I not part of the family? Am I not just as great and as wonderful as my eldest brother?
Right.
I know I'm not strong, but I, at this time, I know I'm a boy, but am I not worthy to be king?
Right.
And as his life begins to unfold and layers come upon layers, and he goes and he ends up in Saul's kingdom, and he's anointed to sing, and he killed the giant. Now there, Saul, even after all of this, Saul still doesn't look at David as a conqueror. Do you not think that David forms some complexes in his mind? David and Jonathan, best friends, living in Saul's household. And Saul is the one who invited him into the household. And yet they are together in the hall, in the dinner place of the hall together. And there we find Saul angers himself, and the spirit of the enemy comes upon him, and he hurls a spear toward him to kill him.
Yeah.
Don't you think that there's some sort of feeling that was buried under the skin of David's spirit that began to wind up and he held up in his heart? And as he begins to have to flee from Saul, because now the evil spirit had been on Saul, and David's run out, and he's living in caves, and he's living against the Amalekites and the different ones, and it's a continual run, yet he knows he's anointed to be king, yet he knows that he's going to sit on the throne, he's going to rule.
Yeah.
Don't you believe that there was times that he struggled? With his debtor? In fact, Saul is laying in a cave and he's asleep, and they can easily get to him and kill him. They can once and for all, they can put an end to the struggle. Revengeful, all these memories, all these wrongs, everything that came from his childhood could be ended at that moment, and Saul could have been slain right there in the cave. And in fact, David did that, which was wrong.
Yeah.
And he cut the hem of Saul's garment off. And that which he had to repent, because he should not have touched God's anointing, even though God had left Saul. But David should not have done that in such a way. But I'm trying to show you today that we are the anointed of God. We are the children of God. All that have accept the promise of God, accept the blood of Jesus Christ that we sang about, the power that changes our lives, those that have been filled with the Holy Ghost and adopted as sons and daughters of God into the kingdom of God, are anointed by God for eternity to rule.
Amen.
But we're here in this low and decrepit state. And we're developing every day complexes. We're developing things within our lives. And yet the scripture, Jesus tells us that we need to forgive our debtors. We need to take that which comes against us and bombards us on the daily basis. We need to ball those attitudes up, and we need to throw them, hurl them away.
Yes.
Now, we have a body, and when your body is sick, you go to the doctor, don't you? The doctor is trained, and he speaks to you, and wherever the facet of your body is, they take blood work to see what's going, and they listen, and they take CAT scans, and they take kind of all kinds of imaging and tests they do in order to give you a diagnosis of where your body is ill.
Right.
And if they're successful, they can give you a treatment, or they could give you some sort of pill that might help you, or whatever it might be. But now we have in what we call our spirit, and our spirit, we have memories. If we would stop, we would go down memory lane.
Right.
And we would talk about things of our childhood and teenage things. And when maybe if you are married today, we'd speak about your marriage. And if you would be down to a place where you had grandchildren and children, you would speak about, you have memories that come back.
Yeah.
You also have imaginations. And sometimes imaginations are good. They keep you occupied. But sometimes you can imagine yourself too far down the road in negativity. We also have a conscience and a subconscious, and that guides us. And a conscience is not a bad thing, because conscience helps you to do what is right and what is wrong. It keeps a moral code with inside of your life. we have things like affections. We have affections towards one another, affections to spouses, even affections to things. And we love our animals. We have affections to our cats and dogs and birds. We have affections that all comes from the spirit realm. And then we have what we call reasoning and our thought process. And we use that in our brains all the time, along with memories that we've had. And then it strikes up imaginations. And we often use the discovery of our brain on our health, because when the doctor speaks to us that you are sick and it's complicated, suddenly you go down into your memory. This is a spirit place. You go down into your memory and you remember that Sister Martha in the church had the same illness. And then you think in your mind, you remember how sickly she was in the church, and how when you brought her flowers and she laid in bed and she had all kinds of complications, and your imaginations pull forward, and suddenly you're living in a realm that does not even exist. Why? Because you have affections for Sister Martha. And you reason everything out, and so your spirit all gets twirled up and spooled like a spool of yarn. And you're trying to figure out how exactly through all these spirit things you're going to make life go on. Now, how about is it when suddenly that somebody does you wrong, or somewhere in your life you've been done wrong? Now, we all have perceptions of an event. Yeah. Can you say amen? Yeah. Now, we're not speaking about right and wrong. If something has been absolutely critically wrong done to you, that the court of law even would say, this is a wrong thing that has happened to you. Those are wrong things, and you cannot change what is wrong. Right. But remember, how you see that which is wrong can be changed. Yeah. The attitude towards it can be changed. And I want to lay it right down now in case you don't remember. It's Christ, the Word, that changes and hurls those attitudes away from you. I want to encourage you this morning to take hold of that. I'm trying to help this morning. I've been meditating over this Word for some time. And I just want it to drop into our hearts rather than just saying the words forgive, forget, and move on. I want it to anchor into our hearts that what Christ has done for us changes our attitude. I want it to change from this afternoon and morning to time as it shall go on. Sometimes we quote Charles Spurgeon, because he had such a move of God in the time of his life. And Charles Spurgeon said like this, he said, unless you have forgiven others, you read your own death warrant when you repeat the Lord's Prayer. Unless you forgive others, you see, you read it, and you're condemning yourself. Now, I'd like to, just for a moment, to draw our attentions again to what Jesus said after in the Lord's Prayer. And I want us to see how Jesus furthers his thoughts. Now, remember in the Lord's Prayer there, he said, now lead us not. This is verse 13. We left it off here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Now, sandwiched between verse 11 and verse 13 is the concept of forgiving our debts as we forgive others. Now, we're so thankful that in verse 11 that God, we pray to the Lord, give us our daily bread. Amen. Give us our life source. Give us that we can eat naturally. But Jesus is not only speaking, everything he speaks has a spiritual connotation to it. Amen. So we're also thankful for the spiritual things that God has done for us and the discerning of our hearts, that he might every day give us a portion to help us in our lives. Yes. So sandwiched in between is now for us to forgive. And then we speak how, Lord, don't lead us in temptation, and we feel so good about it. But now I want you to see that as we draw our attention to verse 14, I want you to see that Jesus adds an expansion to the prayer. It's kind of like he says, you're not getting it. I need to open this further. I need to show this. I want to show you. He's saying, I want to highlight a foundational
principle of faith. I want to show you a foundation of faith. Now, what is that foundational principle of faith? It is forgiveness. A foundational principle of faith. It's not all of it, but a foundational principle of faith, is forgiveness. So Jesus expands now in verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, yes, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Yep.
He's on repeat mode. He just said that in verse 12. But he's saying it again. If you forgive, you're forgiven.
Yes.
But if you forgive not their trespasses, yes, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Yep, that's it.
I'm speaking from my heart to yours this morning. Because forgiveness, whew, that's a hard one.
Yep.
It's an easy word to say.
Sure.
Brother Christian, I forgive you. But it easily comes out of my mouth. But now I got to go back into the memory palace.
Yeah, that's it. Right.
Now I got to go back way back there.
Yeah.
Where only God can touch.
Yep, that's it.
Bring it forward and have us remember so that we can forgive it and move forward in the Lord. Now, I want to tell you our prayer, our desire today, our greatest desire today is that we grow in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In faith.
Amen.
I am just like you. We've been reading Perfect Faith, and it's been on my mind. I said to Sister Hannah these last few days, the people, I hope they're not going to be tired with me because this thought of perfect faith and the desire to grow in faith and desire for God to move in faith. And so I'm searching through my own life and I'm looking, Lord Jesus, where is it that's the stopper?
Right. Yes.
We have a flus in our lives, Brother Branham talks about, and sometimes they get full of things.
Yep.
And they stop the flow, the ever flow.
Yeah.
You ever had a car that had a hiccup? You know, if there's a problem with the fuel filter, it will drive, but it will hiccup. It will starve itself. It won't go like it should. You're trying to go, 60 miles down, and you're trying to reach 70 on I-5, and you're pushing the gas, and it's just, it won't go. Why? Because the filter is full. So personally, I'm not ashamed to tell you that as I read the message and I read my Bible day and night, I read it with the thoughts in my heart, Lord, where is it? You see, I don't want nothing to stand before my prayer. Not just because I'm a minister of the gospel and I want to reach out to the Lord to serve you and to meet your needs. Yes, I truthfully desire that in my whole heart. I live for this.
Yes, praise God.
But
Jesus.
My heart personally, I'm a person that's personal before the Lord. I want to make it in the rapture, the catching away for the Lord. I want to be there just like you want to be there. So we search me, O God. Know my heart today. If there's any wickedness within me, I don't drink. I gave that. I don't smoke. I gave that to you, Lord. I don't commit adultery. I don't fornication. I don't do those things that we ought not to do. Lord, those are grievous sins against you, but what is there?
Uh-huh.
And oftentimes it's forgiveness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Can I once again be open before you? And
yes.
I think sometimes if we give our life experiences, they kind of help people.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
So I one time went through a lot of hardship and people in the ministry can hurt you sometimes.
Yes.
And we want to be servants and we want to do, but people sometimes hurt you. And so
yeah.
I went through a struggle and somebody had hurt me and it had been over some time. And I prayed to the Lord and I called upon his name and I cried before him. And I gave my meals and all those kinds to get rid of this thing that was hurting me so bad. Because I read the scripture just as Charles Spurgeon has said, I don't want to sign my own death warrant.
Right.
No.
Right.
Hear my heart today.
Yes.
And so I gave it to the Lord and And I found peace. I really thought that I was in a place that I found rest on the inside. I mean, I could speak about the trouble and it didn't twinge me. You know how sometimes you speak about something that pokes you? Kind of like, ever got a little thorn in your foot? Okay, and it can't see nothing, but when you put pressure on it, it just pokes you a little. Yeah. But I spoke of this and it had no issue at all with inside of me. I pushed and no problem. I thought everything was good. You know, I had to have a little bit of surgery, and I used to work in the OR, and I realized that when they give you a certain drug, certain thing, they call them like a truth serum. Uh-huh. If you ever want to know what's on the inside of a person, under the influence of some of those things, they'll tell you. And we as nurses are very careful. We never asked. It's part of our duty never to get involved that way because you could really mess things up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so here we are. I had a little surgery. Now, I also know that the last thing, your memory is the last things and the thing, you know, that's to go when you go to sleep. And so I recognized that I just wanted to say, Lord Jesus, I'm in your hands. And so they're putting the medication in, and I was at complete peace as they're injecting, and I knew I was going to go to sleep, and I was praying, and I felt so good, you know, that if our Lord took me home, Sister Raja, I was ready. And so I went to sleep, and knowing that usually the first thing on our minds when we wake up is that which we thought of when we went to sleep. And so I thought, well, you know, when I have this thought, I'll come forward and I'll be just, well, I'll just be spiritual, you know. And so there I lay in the bed and I was awake. Surgery was over and I lay there in the bed and I didn't feel no pain. I didn't feel nothing. I just was coming out of a very nice rest. And, you know, the nurse, a good nurse, she asked me this question. So, hey, what do you do for a living? And so I said, well, I'm a minister of the gospel. Oh, that seems really nice, she says. Now, I heard, I'm being very vulnerable before you today. I heard my voice speaking to her without any reasoning or blockage.
Uh-oh.
And I said, yes, you would think so, but I have been hurt very badly and I And I heard, there was no stopping. And you know, I'm pretty bold preaching to you this morning, and I was evangelizing her to her of my debtors.
Oh, dear. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yes. I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but it's maybe going to help somebody.
Yes.
So I came out of the place of all back to where I put all the filters in place like I got this morning.
Yeah, then you're like,
oh. Everything. And I got back to where Sister Hannah was, and she was talking to me, and I'm kind of, to my wife, I'm a huge open book. I can't hold nothing, blah, out it comes. I feel guilty, blah, it just comes, you know. So I said, you wouldn't believe, Hannah, what I just did. And I told her the whole story. Mm-hmm. Do you know something? I left that hospital in more pain in my heart than I did with the surgery. Mm-hmm. Because I recognized, though I thought it was all under the blood,
oh, Lord, help us. Oh,
yeah. I had actually suppressed it naturally. And sent it into a file back into my memory palace saying that it was okay. And it really wasn't okay.
Oh, Lord God.
So I got on my knees before the Lord. That's the end of the story. I got on my knees before the Lord. And this time I really gave it to him.
Yeah.
I really told him. Lord, I got nothing to hide. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all.
Yes.
Now, I say that all to you this morning because we have things in our lives that are even more serious than somebody making offensive comments in our lives. And so if we want to grow in faith, If we want to have faith in our lives, as we're going to read in a moment, to do great exploits, do wonderful things, to pray and ask God to heal our cancers, because something's coming worse than cancer.
Yeah, that's right.
As we've heard through prophecy of Brother Branham. If we want to see change for our families, I really believe that we've got to crack some eggs and go back and look to see where the trouble is. And I, in my heart this morning, am burdened. Now, there may be other things, yes, but this morning, my burden today is the topic of forgiveness. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this: without faith, it is impossible.
Yeah.
Not slightly possible, but impossible to please who? Him, God.
Yeah.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God told us here that it's impossible to please him without faith. But here is a ever-present and merciful God. He never expects something of us without giving us the answer or a way.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Because he gave us. Now he says, it's impossible to please me without the faith. And we're asking God to increase our faith, to grow our faith. So he said, I made a way that you might obtain faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith, simple, isn't it? We've heard this in Sunday school. Faith comes by hearing. That's why we're so dramatic and so continuous and so overbearing with the subject sometimes. To hear the word of God.
Yes.
To read the word of God, to meditate upon the word of God, to hear the prophet's message and those that have come and spoken the words to us. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Right.
Now the word is Christ Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And on the day of Pentecost, the word came ever present to us, not to leave us comfort us, but to give comfort, and he anointed every single one of us to have a portion of his life. He himself, the word, in us.
Yes.
So what he's asking is to take the love letter that he left behind and begin to read it and tuck it in our hearts.
Right. Yes.
See, if we don't have faith, it's not God's fault. We like to blame God for a lot of things. If you don't have faith, or you're not increasing, you're not growing, there's something in your life, it's not God's fault, because he's provided the way.
Amen.
Hearing with your heart.
Yeah.
He says in the scripture, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying.
Yeah.
He also asks us, in a sort of a warning, but also a earnest, a desire, he says, harden not your heart as it was in the days of provocation or the days of temptation. And so maybe we don't all know what that means because we haven't studied it through. So here, I did that for you this morning. You see, at the days when Israel camped out in the hot and waterless wilderness, they challenged Moses continually.
Yeah.
They left Egypt by faith, believing that Moses was going to be a deliverer. But when they got to the sea and there was an obstacle ahead of them that wasn't, they didn't know how they're going to get across, and Egypt was behind chasing them, they begin to chide and murmur and be upset. And that did not stop, even though they crossed and took their tambourines and danced and rejoiced that they made it across and Egypt was destroyed behind them. No, they continued on their march round and round, something that should take only a few days, but they marched and marched and marched in circles for 40 years.
Right. Yeah.
But a lot of it had to do with this chiding and complaining and unforgiveness one to the other and towards Moses.
Yeah.
I think in my mind, if everybody could have put a sock in it and kept on walking, they would have been there in 3 days.
Yeah.
But they couldn't because of the human condition in their lives. And Jesus is a, he's speaking, he's a preacher, he's showing, hey, you want to have perfect faith? You want to work and grow in me? You got to forgive.
Yeah.
I'm challenging you this morning. I hope you feel the challenge.
Yeah.
To put your energy into hearing the word of God.
Amen.
And receive the growing. You know, your natural body, now it's natural and spiritual, as we know, it goes together, so we speak about them often. So our natural body, you grow physically. Now mothers, you know, your children come up, especially mothers, they feed their children and then they give their children food and they begin to watch their children grow. Little Wyatt that's in the building today, he was a baby, an infant, he cried, mother fed him, and then before you know it, mother turned it to pablum or whatever they call it now, and then before you know it, it's fruits and vegetables and stronger meat. And in order to grow physically, we need to eat well physically.
Yes.
Okay. To be a whole strong person, you think I'm laboring, but I'm trying to get a point. In order to be a strong, healthy person that can do their tasks of life, their everyday life, and the extra fun, extracurricular things that go on to their life, you've got to try to eat right and eat well and do what's well. Sometimes we come to the Lord for prayer because of our ailments, and really it's just because we're doing really poorly in how we address our habits.
Yes.
Okay, back to me again. Lord help Brother Steve. Yes, I got lots of issues. But I want you to know, last year, about August, I went to India with a few others. We had a wonderful time, but I was 300 pounds. I would preach to you here, and I'd sweat and do all the kind of things, and I was 300 pounds. And so I want to tell you what happened was I woke up and often at night. My back always hurt. I had to sleep on the rug floor in order to get comfort. I didn't tell anybody, but I walked around miserable. And so, Lord bless our doctors. They tell us just rightly, you know. I can't tell you. Your family members can't tell you in case of offense, and your friends won't tell you either.
Uh-huh.
Well, except my wife maybe said, hey, you know, sweetly, you got to lose weight.
Uh-huh.
What are you talking about? I love food. I love the Lord. I got perspective. I love the Lord. I love my family.
Yeah.
Never mind. Just digging a ditch. You see,
Jesus.
We can clean ourselves up. Those are practical things.
Yeah.
Now, I asked my wife to pray. I asked my family. I got such back pain. I don't know what to do. What's going to happen? I won't tell you what happened to me. Can I?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I lost 30 pounds, and suddenly a miracle happened in my life.
Yeah, praise God.
Now, I thank Jesus for everything, but you know something? I went a pant size down.
Yes, praise God.
Sugar diabetes is cleaning up. My heart pressure is better.
Yeah.
I'm happier.
Amen.
Just by simple things that God teaches us to do to grow.
Amen. Praise God.
Okay, we have things mentally in our lives. And mentally, to grow, we have to stop bombarding our minds with thoughts that pertain to this world.
Amen. Yes.
There, how many would agree there's a lot of negativity around?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Brother Ben, we get on our news feeds and we read all about the bad things that are happening in this world, and we can't change that. If I could solve world hunger, I would with a snap of the finger. If I had money in the account to do these things, I would do with all my, but I can't change it. You know, in fact, I think about those that we try to serve, Sister Serena, Brother Mark, the different ones that go out to the first Sunday of the month and they go over to be there at Walmart and
yeah.
You know, if we could change, we'd change their whole situation.
For sure.
With a wave of our hand, we would desire, but we can't do these things. We just can't do it. But we read of them all the time in our minds. We read and read, knowing we can't change it. We don't want to bury our heads in the sand either, but we just immerse ourselves into these things, and then we wonder why we walk around so negative. You see, we got to start filling our thoughts
Amen.
With the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
We've got to start simply.
Yes.
This is really simply, but one of the hardest things to do is to start reading our Bibles.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
And pray every day.
Amen.
Well, Brother Steve, I read a portion of a message book. No, that's not what the prophet of God told us to do every day. We should do that, and it's our portion for the day of our lives of this generation. But the prophet told us, because the prophet stays with the Word of God.
Amen.
Brother Brandon never ever stood up here and said, you know what, I want you to take a message book to church and just read that and not your Bible. If Brother Branham saw us doing that, he would shake his head and say, what's the matter with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, read your Bible
Amen. And
pray every day. The Urim Thummim for today is your Bible.
Right.
It's your guide. When Brother Branham preached the guide, he said about reading our Bibles, we got to look to the North Star, which is Christ. Read it, read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I don't pick on these things, but I just tell you, I like those little bread baskets that you put on your table in the morning. You pull up a little scripture reading and you read it. Yeah, those are really nice. But those are not a substitute for immersing yourself in your Bibles. I think it would be good for us. Our minds are kind of like a computer. And I know that each one of you know where, because you have a desktop or a laptop or you have a smart device, and something on there has, you press it somewhere and it says pull up history. Anybody knows where that is?
Yeah.
Okay, you press pull up history, pulls up that tab, pulls up the history. And you know something, it'll show all the history of everything that you've looked at.
Right.
And if you know more about programming, it's actually deeper and deeper, deeper inside of that device. And if you take it to a specialist someplace, they actually can expose all your history.
Right. Yeah.
But the Lord Jesus tells you, look, I want to clear that history for you.
Praise God.
Okay, so nobody get ashamed about your life right now. Because the Lord Jesus, he's speaking to us today. He says, you know what? I want you to, when you pull up that history thing in the back of your mind, to see that all your history is under the blood.
Amen.
And there is no programmer that's supposed to go back in. There are psychologists or hypnotists or whatever you want to call it, is supposed to go back into your memory palace to bring up your faults and your iniquities. No, because them things are all under the blood. Brother Brandon would say, when you come to the front to be prayed for, make sure everything that you've ever thought or done, anything, say, Lord, forgive me, put it under the blood, because the Spirit of God will expose that.
Yeah, yes. For sure.
So that you can repent.
Amen. That's right.
And be forgiven. So we need to fill our thoughts with the Word of God. So I think it's good for us to know. Now, I want you also to realize that when you clear your history, I have this in my notes. When you clear the history, don't think that you're going to leave the cookies behind. Do you know what that means? Anybody knows? Okay, in your computers, I'm giving you a computer lesson, but I'm no expert, believe me. But in your computer, there's something up, supposedly, Brother Karim, that has called cookies. Is that right? And those are cookie trails. Those are things that lead you so that when you look up something else, that your computer remembers where you was so that it can help you.
Yeah.
So if you were looking up, let's say, sisters, what would you like? You would be looking up how to, my wife made something for me the other day. Recipes, yes. And you were looking up for a certain chicken recipe. Well, it helps you find other chicken recipes.
That is, yeah.
Not only allow the devil to leave breadcrumbs in your life,
uh-huh.
A trail just in case you need to come back and revisit that pain and anxiety and worry.
Right.
Listen, clear the histories. Allow God to get it clear. Allow the cookies to be cleared. Let the drive become empty before the Lord. Brother Brandon was saying in this message, expectations, he says, your cups must be clean and clear before God, or God cannot work with you. We want to grow. We're talking about growing in perfect faith. In enticing spirits, he says, God, fill me with love. Fill me with the thing that makes me love the bitterest enemy I've got. Well, some of us sit back and say, you know something, I've got some pretty bad spots in my life. And if we would sit together at counseling and you would expose to me some of the things that happened to you, it would be kind of hard. But we're asking not a man to do this work. I could give you some good ideas and pray with you, and I would do my best. And it would kind of sound like a 7-step program through the scriptures to get you through. But that's not going to work unless the Lord Jesus fills you with his love.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus, he challenged the disciples and those that were around him and told them that the greatest thing is love.
Amen.
Love conquers all things, not just your filial love for one another, but agape of God's very own love.
Amen.
You know, we always use the worst examples, but they kind of hit home so we understand. But you know, if you were a man or a woman that was strung out on drugs and had just drinking a full bottle of whiskey and were laying there on the ground with vomit out of your mouth and you had done all kinds of sin on that night, you know how God looks at you? Now, I might look at you like, man, you made a lot of mistakes. Come on, get with it. Let's take you to a program to get cleaned up. And if you mess up again, I'd shake my head. Why are you doing this? You're ruining yourself. But God looks at you with different eyes than just filial love.
Yes.
Where if you do it, I'll love you. And if you don't do it, well, no, he looks at you beside your fault. This is really important for some of us because we get down. Right now you might be on a mountaintop, but when you're feeling pretty low, nobody loves you. It feels like that. We sing a song, nobody loves me. But God, he looks at you beyond all that trash that you got in your life. A mess.
Yeah. Yes.
He doesn't see you like that.
Right.
Because God took a picture of you when you come into this world. And he took a picture of you when you would leave this world or you'd be caught away with him. Those are two things that God sees through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees that you are better than that, and he loves you.
Amen.
Sometimes some of us just have to say, Lord, open your eyes to what you see of me.
Right, that's good.
If you would recognize how much God loved you, you would say to yourself, you know what, I can't do this on my own, but I surrender, Lord.
Yeah.
I can't promise you that I won't have another drink or I won't take drugs or I won't take an excess amount of leave or Tylenol or medication that the doctor gave me and it helps me get by mentally. I won't do that and nobody knows it, Lord. I don't take marijuana. I don't take any other drugs, but I overuse on my medication and it helps me. It just gets me through. God looks at you and speaks to you. Love yourself like I love you.
Amen.
We struggle. So I believe now as we move forward, I don't have too much more time. This is a bigger subject than I can even unravel this morning. But I want to say that if we desire to have more faith, which we do, we need to learn to forgive easily.
Yeah.
I wish that if I could have started all over with my children that I would see what I see today. Because the greatest thing that I would teach my children today is forgiveness.
Right.
Somebody would have done something bad to them at school, I would have spoken to them and said, let's forgive them.
Yeah.
Let's see what Jesus looks to forgive. And I would have built with inside them a mechanism to learn how to forgive. But here we are today, and so we open our hearts and say, Lord, teach us today. Teach us then in our spirit realm, because this is really where we're dealing. Brother Branham would say that when I come, people come to the platform, I'm ministering and I'm speaking and I'm dealing to their spirit. He said, let me touch them. Let me get to a place where I connect with their spirit.
Uh-huh.
In Luke chapter 17, as we explore, do you just have a few more minutes for me? Are you interested?
Yes.
Okay. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus says, and then said he unto his disciples, it is possible, but that offenses will come.
Yes.
Amen. All right. It's inevitable.
Right.
Offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come.
Right.
So God's not for the offenses.
No, he's not.
Because he says, it was better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So Jesus is not for the person that has broken the law and has hurt you.
Right.
We're not just shoving it under the rug and saying, forget. No. Listen, if you were a molester here this morning, we're going to take you over to the police and we're going to tell them that you are a molester and we'll pray with you. And when you get out of jail, we'll keep on praying and you're welcome back in the house of the Lord as a born again son and daughter of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're sinning in this aspect, it's wrong.
Yes. Amen.
We're not going to hide it under.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, Brother Steve, there have found. No, yeah. Sin is sin. And we're not going to. Listen, too many years people have been hurt by compromising ministry and people around. Sin is sin.
Yes, amen. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. I know that's harsh for us to hear. But I was raised in this message my whole life, and I was raised with young people who had been molested by their grandfathers and uncles and all this kind of thing growing up in life. Now I'm a minister of the gospel and I see the repeat of this all happen. And it's just like, well, we don't want no embarrassment, Brother Steve. Listen, the Catholic Church has put people under the rug and covered all kinds of sin. And all it does is repetuate sin.
Yeah, that's it.
But if we open up, just like we open our books to the government for accounting to say, hey, we're clean, our money's clean, everything we do here is clean, this is not a laundering service.
Right.
If we do that in the house of God with our immoralities and things and open it up, Satan has no place to come in and hide.
Right. Amen.
Yes.
Good.
So we believe in the blood of Jesus that will cleanse you from sin.
Yes, right.
And listen, when you give your heart to the Lord and we baptize you and we pray you through, and listen, you're welcome to come, but the deacons will watch you.
Wisdom.
Really, brothers? Yes.
Yeah.
Because we don't trust the devil.
Yeah. Right.
We love you, we trust you, but we don't trust the devil.
Right. For sure.
That's good.
So Jesus says, now some of you might be happy with me at the end of the service, but I take it.
Wonderful.
When we are disciples, Jesus says, there's somebody going to offend you. Fences will come, and woe to him, it would be better than a millstone will be put on his neck and thrown into the sea. Then verse 3 says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. You're okay to go to your brother and say, you know, you did me wrong. Rebuke him respectfully. And he, if he repent,
amen,
forgive him.
Right.
Forgive him.
That's it.
Verse 4. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him.
Yeah.
I don't see any wiggle room. Do you?
No.
Doesn't matter what has done wrong. The wrong was wrong. But if he says, I'm wrong, you got to forgive him. Now, Matthew in the scripture, he remembers Peter asking similar questions, and Jesus answers the question. Now, if you recall, now, Peter was a little rougher on the edges. Would you say that?
Yeah.
In fact, when Jesus met him, you know, he was standing on the side of the boat, and he wasn't wearing too much, and he was shouting, screaming, and Peter had an offensive personality.
Uh-huh.
And not many of us would have said, I like Peter too much. And we wouldn't have had him over for dinner too often because Peter kind of was rough. But nonetheless, the Lord Jesus begins to speak to Peter and he gives him an idea to solidify the idea or the thoughts or the purpose of forgiveness. So Jesus begins to tell an illustration. Now, I'm not going to tell you as the scripture word for word. I'm just going to tell you in a human way. Amen. And we find out that there was once a great king, and he loved and he had great generosity. We'll close shortly. Just listen to my story. And I say this on the behalf of the kids for just a little bit. Amen. And for the grown kids, which would be me too. So there was this wonderful king, and he was full of generosity and full of love, and he had a lot of subjects, and he was okay. He was okay providing loans, and he was okay with, you know, they needed a house, and it was on his heart. He had his people, his subjects, his other servants to fill out mortgages, and it just kind of made life really easy for those that were in his kingdom. Now, there came a time when this king, he wanted to audit his books. I mean, every good king and businessman has a time where his books get audited. And he wanted to look through the accounting. And he recognized that there was one fella that was kind of really living it up. And he had borrowed a lot of money. And the Bible says that he owed this king 10,000 talents. Oh, 10,000 talents. What's the big deal about that? But Jesus is making an obvious statement here. It's actually, it's really a large statement. I mean, you and I would scratch our heads like this. You know, in the Bible, I scratched my head last time Brother John was preaching. It was the truth. And he was preaching how that Solomon sacrificed 120,000 oxen.
Yeah.
Well, I said, wow, that, the Lord would have accepted 2 or 3 or 5.
Right.
But you know what? That's a lot of oxen. So sometimes in scripture, the things are really put into a large perspective. So how much God desires and wants out of us.
Yeah.
And so God is speaking to us through Jesus. He's speaking these words. He owned 10,000 talents. So I don't know what that means. I don't know how much 10,000 talents is. So I went to Google and I went to find out what 10,000 gallons talents meant. And so this is the one I got. You'll find another number maybe, but let's roll with this for the story. Don't hold it to me, okay? But it was the upwards amount of $3.48 billion.
Whoa.
Now, to put in further, this is U.S. dollars, not Canadian, son. So he really borrowed, didn't it? Loans and mortgages. I mean, he was living. Can you turn it to the picture that got that? That'd be really good. He had a lot to go. So I wanted to bring it a little further in perspective. So if someone gave you, all right, $1 billion, not three, but $1 billion, and you spent $1,000 each day, you would be spending about 2,740 years.
My goodness.
Before you went broke.
My goodness.
Now think of $3 billion. I think it's 9,500, something like that, years before you'd go broke. So Jesus is telling us this is a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
So for the sake of it, you know, I'm going to say it like this. So the king brought the big spender by the name of Bob forward. Bob is his name for just today. Bob, come forward. You owe me a lot of money. You see, servant Bob, he couldn't pay the king. So the king commanded Bob, his family, his children, and all that he had into slavery. But here comes Bob, and he says, Master, I'm sorry. And he makes some ridiculous statement. I'll pay you back. How long do we live?
Yeah.
I mean, the oldest man that ever lived had to die before 1,000 years. So there's no way, Jesus is saying, no way. No way, underline, no way for payment.
Yeah.
And there's a point to all this. Jesus is making a point.
There's no way for payment.
Yes.
But Bobby cries and he, oh God, help. Help me, I just want to, I not my family, please. It may be my sin, but not my family, not my children, not my household. And I want you to see, after hearing the cries and the speaking and lamenting, the king finds himself in a place of compassion for Spendy Bob. He has compassion. His bowels of mercy begin to move for him. In fact, he says, you know something? All right, I set you free, Bob. And I set your family and your children, your household, I set them all free. We would have clicked our heels and said, wow, we did good. But not only that, he says, Bob, I forgive you. Amen. The 2,700 and whatever days a payment. I forgive you the $3.48 million, the $10,000. I forgive you. Go on, live your life. I forgive you. All right. So here goes Bob. You know, he's, oh, kill the fatted calf. Let's just have a joyful, because God has done something amazing for me, my family, and those in my, woo, it's done for me.
Yeah.
But Jesus says, what he's done for others, he'll do for what he's done for you, he'll also do for
Amen.
Others.
Amen.
So Bob goes and he's all happy. He's all excited for what has gone down. But now suddenly Bob says, well, I have to account for all my things. And so he goes through his audit program and his accounting programs. And he recognizes, hang on a second. There's Fred. Oh, man. Fred, he owes me. And you know how much Fred owns? He says, Fred owes me 100 pence. Type in 100 pence. What's 100 pence? He owes me 100 pennies.
Right.
One American dollar.
Dollar.
Do you see the opposites Jesus drawing here?
Yeah.
One American dollar, $1.37 Canadian. Listen, you can't even buy a lunch with that money.
No, for sure.
I go out to Woods and it's $4.95 for a drip coffee.
Yeah.
That tastes like wash from the sink. And here Bob says, call in Fred. And he pulls in Fred into his office and he begins to berate Fred. Now Fred bows down in the next picture. Fred, he bows down. I'm so sorry. I will pay you back. Guess what? It's not going to take no 2,700 and some years to pay it back. It's like rightly. I'll pay you back. But oh no, Bob is so outraged because he didn't get his lunch money. His little thing wasn't solved. And so he abuses him. He manhandles him. He turns red in the face and says, I ain't coming back to church. I'm not going to do nothing. You are going to prison. So there were some standing around saying, this is ridiculous. So they went to the king. So you know what just happened? This guy that owed you a lot of money, he wouldn't even forgive this little thing. Bob would not forgive what Fred did. And Fred, well, it was big to Fred because he owed it.
Right.
And it was big to Bob because he couldn't forgive. But it seemed like nonsense.
Yeah.
And so what Jesus says, now Jesus makes these remarks and he says, and the Lord, now the king was wroth, he was mad, and delivered who? Bob, I'm going to say, into the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Don't you see what Jesus is saying? It's impossible to pay back, and you couldn't work enough days to do it. Yeah. If when we start doing the math, whatever it might be, let me say 2,700 some years to pay that thing off.
Yeah.
Listen, friends, that sounds like an eternity for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yet we know hell is not an eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm saying to you, Jesus says, likewise shall your heavenly Father also do unto you. If you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Jesus is not leaving any room. It's a critical warning. You see that? A critical warning. Forgive or else you're going to end up in torment. Well, Brother Steve, I want you to tell you, it's actually torment in this life. Everybody's, well, it's... No. Torment shows up in what is closest to you. I want to tell you like this. When you have a problem and somebody's offended you, I don't know where it's been, how it's ever, right or wrong. You know something? When you hold on to it, when you hold on to it, you're the prisoner. Because there's sometimes people don't even know they offended you.
True.
You're in a season. You're someplace, whatever. And they said something that, and that's why Jesus said, go to him and speak to him, rebuke him, and let him have a chance to repent. Because sometimes we don't even know.
True.
I mean, you just look at the wrong way and so, but you end up being the prisoner.
Right.
And your little plant can't grow in faith. When you go before the Lord and need something for yourself, your family, wherever it might be, a situation, you can't seem to reach where the throne of grace. And that's where our lives seem like God's on and God's off, and there's spottiness. It's not a good reception between us and God. Why doesn't God hear our prayer the first time? He said he would. Because there's something in the way. Do you see it this morning? I don't know where it's at. I'm not here to pick through your spirit to find where it's at. But sometimes there's things in the way. And you're sitting there bound up like Johnny Crow, can't go any higher than the chain that's holding you. So I'm encouraging you this morning as we close. We need to close, and I'm just desperately not finished. But I think you under the understanding, right, this morning, where I'm driving at. All right, I don't want to belabor it. But if you can see, now you may not realize it here this morning. You may say, just like I was going to surgery, you may say, everything's good. But if there's something standing in your way of prayer and you just can't reach God for a certain situation, don't just leave it there. There's a reason.
Right.
And it's not God's fault.
Yeah, for sure. That's true.
Just don't throw it onto God. Well, I don't, God's time. No, no, no. There is a problem with you.
Yeah.
And you have to fix you. Brother Branham says it's time for the church to bring herself higher. How are we going to do that? By analyzing our lives and going back into the histories, way back in when we were grown up, way back when we started in church, way back through all the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pastors, all the way the things that go on, and see where the anklet holds the chain.
Yeah.
It's going to be painful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Going back in your life to things that really have bruised you and hurt you, and now they're scars and they're things to show, but they really haven't quite healed over. It's still lumpy underneath. Those things really hurt. But you got to go back there. You have to go back there if you want to grow.
Beautiful.
We want to grow, don't we?
Yeah.
We want to move much higher in God.
Yeah.
We got to go back there. We're going to open that thing up. So difficult to do. I don't even know how to describe for you how difficult for my own life, though, some of those things are. Some of my complexes I have, the things that what hinder me even now as a grown man, all those things. Listen, we all have them.
Sure. Yeah.
And if you're denying them, listen, you haven't gone back to find them because they're there.
Yeah.
We're like an onion. We're like that tree, a bark. It just keeps wrapping and wrapping. You suppress those things. Go back in the Spirit of God. Go back into with God. As the prophet of God says, I got to take you and show you where you were. Remember how he did this? Remember that woman that child or somebody was afraid of a dog, and we found out later on this mother was pregnant and the dog attacked and barked, and we found out later that this woman was affected by that in the utero.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even know it. We have to go back and allow God to show us where the anklet and chain are so that we can say, no, Lord, I need you to cut it, break it, resolve it, clean it up so I can make one more step higher in Christ.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, Lord.
I want you to see once again as I close. You're perfect in Christ. Yes, you are perfect in Christ. That's how he sees you. Mm-hmm. But for you to grow into the beautiful image and into the beautiful flower on this life that God wants you to be, you got to track back.
It's beautiful.
Just like that soldier that was dying on the field, and that clergyman went to him and said, hey, where did you leave God? Where did you leave it? He said, when I was a child, that where he lays me down to sleep. You got to go back where you left off, mm-hmm. where the stunting stopped. And you got to ask God, God, restore to me. Restore to me the years, the time, the efforts. And God will,
amen.
I don't know how, Brother Brett, Brother Matt prayed, supernaturally we need things done in life. It's got to take the supernatural God that will go back with you in your life and begin to heal those things so that you are no longer acting as a tax collector. Nobody wants to be a debt collector. Always bringing it forward. You know those guys, anybody ever owned anything? Owed anything from a tax collector was after you?
How awful.
Well, okay, again, Brother Steve. Wow, you guys are all angels, man. I'm standing, Brother Ken, I'm standing with Brother Brandon because they repossessed his chair one time. Praise God.
Yeah.
Us poor preachers. But one time I couldn't pay the electric water bill or whatever it was. So, you know, I just kept passing it on. And one day this guy calls me, hey, you haven't collected the, oh yeah, yeah, I'll get to it, okay. But you know, some those guys, irritating as they are, they call you like it's 6 a.m. every day.
Yeah,
do you have our money yet? And if they're part of the mafia, they break your knees.
Yeah. Yes.
Those are debt collectors.
Yeah.
True.
They come and repo your house.
Yeah.
You can't pay. And some of us carry that chip on our shoulders like we are the debt collector. You know, I've often says, if that brother, heard people say, if that brother doesn't come apologize to me, I won't forgive him. He's got to come and apologize. Hang on a second.
Jesus.
I'm going to end with this. He paid a debt.
Yes.
He did not owe. I owed a debt. I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Let's stand to our feet this Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for paying that debt.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Lord, we owed so much. And
yes, we did.
There wasn't a lifetime that we could pay it back.
No way.
But Lord, it's not just a story, it's actual. You came. You lived on this earth. You showed us how we should operate, how we should live. And Father, then you stretched your hands on the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
And you died for. And while you were on that cross, there was a thief that was there, and he saw his wrongs, and he said, Lord, will you remember me when you enter into paradise, into your paradise? And even in that state of pain, I mean, it was pain. His back was stripped, his back was bruised, his beard was plucked, gobs of spit hung on his face, dirty, naked, in grime, in full pain and crucifixion. Even in that moment, our Lord Jesus, Father, you practiced what you preached.
Right.
Father, you never expected anything different from us than you did yourself. And even when he looked upon those that had done the merciless act to him, he could have called 10,000 angels, as we read. He could have called and they would have came out and wiped the generation, the world right off. But what did you say? You practiced again what you preached. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. Father, will you forgive them? And so, Lord, you expect us today to follow your example, because, Lord, you filled us, you filled our lives, and in us is you. And we should be able to put our bodies and our spirit in subjection to you, the one that taught us how to pray.
Yes, oh God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So I ask this morning, Lord, with sincerity, and I ask, oh God, that in quietness here just for a moment, that we might speak to you and ask you to come with us down our life's journey, to clean up, to show us, Lord, where the anklet and the chain are, so that we can receive freedom, so that we can grow in you. I'm asking you personally, Lord, as my own self. I minister to the people. I pray for the people. But now, Lord, I stand in this pulpit asking for me individually. Help me to go down and forgive those that would be called debtors. I pray, oh God, that I would take those things, those attitudes. I can't help what's happened. They've happened. But Lord, I can take those attitudes and I can put them together like in a ball, and I can hurl them from my life.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for every believer that's in the building. Every believer that's in the building this morning, I pray, Father, that they would have the courage to do as Jesus did and say, Father, I forgive.
Yes, Lord.
I forgive, not of myself, but in the name of Jesus Christ.